Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Atlanta, we own the East. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. I'll say this, Mike. You mentioned it with Andy and Randy. Stressful night last night, but it's over. It's done. We have accomplished the goal of winning the division again. We caught the Mets. This is an incredible run, and now we get a week off. But today it's about celebrating, guys, because we are witnessing something pretty special with this Braves team. And whether we win another World Series or not, we'll get there. We'll figure it out. But, Mike, let's celebrate the moment, because I think this is one of the most miraculous, you know, comebacks and catching a team from 10.5 games behind in baseball history. I really do.
When I was a kid, the big one, because I remember racing home from school, even though I wasn't a Yankee or Red Sox fan, to see that one-game playoff, the famous Bucky Dent home run. Yankees came back from 14.5 back, and that's the gold standard in the modern era. Billy Martin gets fired halfway through the season. But this year, man, you had to go – we had to wait for Acuna. We lost Ozzie Albies. We had all sorts of stuff going down that we had to battle. Not as bad as last year because we lost Acuna for half the season, but there was our own little – you know, let's be honest, dips – peaks and valleys in this one. We put a better effort out there, and the Mets actually got their stuff together. The moves they made obviously panned out. They had a great year by any other standard, but we win the division. But last night, brother, like you, me, and thousands of other folks around Atlanta, freaking the hell out last night because it just felt like the ball was not going to bounce your way.
Yeah, we needed to score some runs. I thought we were going to have this explosion. I really did. I felt like, okay, this is a game where we'll have 5 or 6 runs, and we'll be like, it's over. And it just didn't feel that way. That last night felt like a playoff game.
Well, I mean, you had Michael Harris, they get him to bunt. So we actually do get our one sacrifice bunt. Obviously, the fewest sacrifice bunts of any team anywhere. But I hate taking the bat out of Michael Harris's hands only to have the next two guys not do anything. So you got second and third with one out. That popped and went nowhere. There was one where I think it was Olsen hit a line drive. Shortstop goes up the ladder and catches. Like, oh, come on. You were just feeling like you just couldn't catch a break last night.
Yeah. It ultimately ends up in a win. It's our fifth straight division championship. And as we start the day, I just want Atlanta sports fans to realize how special this is. And I'm not talking about just the Braves. I want you to think about the last decade. I want you to think about the last 10 years of what we've been doing here. The Braves have won now their fifth straight division title. They won a World Series last year. We saw the Falcons go to a Super Bowl. We know how it ended, but the point was we had the most exciting offense in the NFL, Mike, and we went. We saw the Dogs win a chip for the first time in 40 years over the last 10 years. We've seen Atlanta United win a championship. We've also seen the Hawks win 60 games, which had never been done, and go to an Eastern Conference Finals and being a hair away from the NBA Finals. And, oh, by the way, we have a star. Here's what I'm telling you. All the crap you've heard over the years is just not true. We are a great sports town. We've got great teams. The Braves, by far, to me, right now are the best organization because, Mike, they've done it year after year after year. And all the conversations we've had about spending money and getting players, we, by far, have the best general manager in baseball. Everything he's done to this point has worked. Every single thing. There always are going to be questions about moves, but think about what he did last year and how he constructed a team that won it for us. And then you come back this year and you roll the dice, Mike, and you go, we're going to bring this guy up. We're going to bring this Michael Harris guy up.
Right.
We're going to bring this Von Grissom up. We're going to let this Spencer Strider kid who makes the team out of spring training do more than what we think he can do. All of these risk-reward moves have paid off, and all I'm saying is, it's a pretty special damn time right now.
Right, and again, all that crap about, look, I know the Falcons blew a Super Bowl, whatever, but, I mean, there's nothing to do with Georgia, nothing to do with the Braves. We are a championship town. We are a championship city because we've got, you just laid out, a general manager who's better than anybody else out there. And last year it was the free agent moves. You just outlined the moves. We were the first station to say it's time to bring Michael Harris up, and they did. It's just this team is so clutch. Now, yeah, there's some stretches like the last two games where runs are at a premium. I think there was pressure there. I don't think they'll maybe admit it, but there was some pressure involved down the stretch. But this team has shown the ability, the resiliency to take. That's why if it does eventually get to us getting past the Cardinals or Phillies and getting to the Dodgers or whoever, I'm not as afraid about this stuff as I might have been a couple of years ago because I know this team's mental makeup.
Mm.
You can't quantify it. There's no acronym for the clutch this team has and the clutch team that Alex Anthopoulos, who joins us next, put on the field.
Yeah, he's coming up here in about 10 minutes. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Certainly want to hear from you. Now, we will spend a lot of time on the Braves, and rightfully so. Today's game, it doesn't mean a thing. For us, for the guys that are there, it doesn't. But they got to finish the season, and they'll play it. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley coming up a little bit early next hour. But Coach Arthur Smith stops by. Mike, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. We'll talk to Coach about what happened last week. But we are turning the page because this is a big game on Sunday. Bucs are 2-2. We're 2-2. And all of a sudden now, things get really interesting early in the season. So he's going to join us at 5 for his weekly visit. And we'll go behind enemy lines as we head to Tampa to find out the latest about the Brady debacle, what's going on off the field, and what's going on the field, and how that may affect things on Sunday. Find Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. That's on Twitter. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. This radio show is Dukes and Bell 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. We're on the gram as well and across all other social media platforms. How much credit do you give Brian Snicker?
All the credit in the world. I mean, I can only think of literally four times in an entire 160 now one with one to go season game that I was upset about. So usually it's like leaving a pitcher or taking a pitcher out too soon. But that's everybody does that nowadays with pitch count. So it's kind of like, I'm like, you watch any manager over the course of a season, you're going to bellyache. So with all respect to I'm not respecting Chukri. Chukri can bellyache about everything he wants. This guy pushes the right buttons.
He does.
He moves guys up. Harris struggles. He moves them back down. You can't argue. Again, guys. You think it was just sheer blind luck that him moving Rosario up or Soler up or down the way he did it? No, the man pushed the right buttons and credit is due. And this year, you go up against the analytics of Dave Roberts. You go up against potentially Cardinals manager, which is kind of like a 50-50 guy with analytics. Snicker uses the research, but mostly it's, as we learned earlier this year, it's half gut and half what the computers tell.
It really is.
Which I think, who can argue with that, right?
And by the way, this is what I feel. I think a lot of these guys use too much of the analytics these days. I really do. I think it's almost like if it's not on a sheet of paper or printed out for these guys, they don't do it. And I think Snick comes from an era where it just wasn't that way. You know, a guy looks good, it feels good, I'm going to stay the course. If he doesn't, I'm going to pull him out of the game. And I think he goes with that a lot. Here's the turning point in our season. And I think this is important because when we talk about Brian Snicker, you know, again, this is his fifth as well. It's not like he just jumped on. He's been a big part of, you know, cultivating these young guys and then turning some of these guys into stars. But that team meeting in Arizona, Mike, where we were playing like crap, we came in, and you may or may not remember, we were like, we're missing easy balls. I mean, easy balls that should be, you know, we could field. We weren't pitching well. We weren't hitting. We weren't doing anything. And he has this meeting, and allegedly from everybody I've talked to, he didn't raise his voice. He just talked to guys and basically said, hey, we got to play better, and we can play better. And all of a sudden, guys, we're going a 14-game run, and it completely changed our season around. And I give Snick credit because, Mike, we talk about it. You can have all the team meetings you want, but it's the tone, the temperament, and all the things that Matt – and he just hit it out of the ballpark.
Right. I mean, you don't – and if you do that every once in a while, I mean, you got to pick your spot. You can't do that every week. Your guy's going to tune you out in any sport, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. But this guy – and again, look, Bobby Cox should have won more, and we can debate what he didn't do or this or that. And I think some people say, you know, and I've said it for years, you know, you only get a job here is if you, you know, were around with Bobby Cox is here, and that's fine. He's taken, I think, the best of what made Bobby Cox successful and improving on it with some of the things we just talked about, incorporating some of the analytical work, going by feel with his players, knowing when to push the right buttons, you know, having the, and by the way, not a guy, yeah, he's stubborn to a point. He still will shuffle the lineup. He doesn't lock it in, and that's all you're going to see. We saw that flexibility the last few months, especially with Matt Olson.
Yeah, and you guys talked about it. Bo's out today doing both duties today as our man Chris, we call him Turtle, behind the glass. Bo will be back tomorrow. But Bo and you, both and you and Bo were talking about this yesterday with the Michael Harris move, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the little things that matter in the course of 162 games because when you're talking about the best teams in the league being in the playoffs, they all got good pitching. They all got good bullpens. They all got star power. It's the little things that differentiate you from being a champion. And that's why we are top of the East one more time. And I don't know, Mike, if we win the World Series. Guys are hitting me up last night. All right, we're going to go on. I just want to enjoy this. Let's see who we end up playing in the NLDS, and then we'll talk about the NLCS when it comes time. Do I think we have as good a shot as anybody? Yes, I absolutely do. But just know we're probably going to have to go through those damn Dodgers again because, Mike, they had the best record. They're going to have home field. But I'm not afraid of them.
No, again, I just go back to anybody who wants to argue this with me, including Dodger fans that we met in Vegas last time I was out there. Yeah, we had these guys on the ropes. They were down. If it was a best of five, we would have beat the Dodgers in 2020, the COVID year. I mean, we can – because we're clutch. We're clutch. And for all the division titles they've won, they sometimes tend to play a little tight.
Mm.
You know, their pitchers seem to get injured. They seem to give up big hits. And I like the bullpen. I think you could argue now. Minter last night not his sharpest. The only with Snicker I would argue I'd flip it. I let Minter go in the seventh and have Iglesias in the eighth. But that's it. But again, been working out so far, right?
Yeah, I'm with you though. Iglesias has looked really good, man.
At least the closer of the future. When they move on from Kenley Jansen, he'll be our guy.
So Jansen closes the game last night again. Braves win, and it didn't matter what the Mets did. We needed a win and we did, but Jansen closes the game. He's got 41 saves now in the season, 41. And I know he's teetered at times, right? It's been like, oh, he's wobbling. But he continues to get the job done. And so you have to trust that. Braves fans, I know we're all a little bit like, okay, sometimes it doesn't look good, but he's the guy. And when we get in these close situations in the playoffs here as we move forward, they won't start this week. It'll be next week, Tuesday, Wednesday at home for the Braves. And Mike and I will talk more about that. But it's gonna be Jansen. And we just got to – you got to ride with this and trust it. And hope that just like last year, Mike, that it works out. It did last year for us. I'm hoping it does this year.
Dodgers bullpen has had some shaky moments of their own, talking about our nemesis in L.A. But, man, speaking of nemesis, Mets did put some pressure on us, but the Braves did respond in an absolute pressure cooker down there.
This portion of Dukes and Bell brought to you by the Georgia Lottery. Today could be the day. Coming up, the GM, the architect, as we call him on this show, Alex Anthopoulos. It is Dukes and Bell. Braves win the East again. We're going to talk with Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, here in just a few minutes. As guys are hitting us up, and, you know, the jubilation of this team doing what they did, 78-33 since June 1st. I think Dansby said it last night after the game. Like, you got to appreciate how good we've played. And I don't think Dansby was saying that to, you know, pound his chest, no. Mike. As Alex Anthopoulos joins us, Braves general manager, the best GM in baseball.
Here, here.
But I was talking about Dansby last night, Alex, saying, you know, you got to appreciate how well this team played from June 1st on. And 78-33, it is kind of miraculous. And, I heard Dansby talking about it. I heard various guys in that clubhouse talking about it. What do you think it was? What if you were to say, hey, well, this is the reason why we won, you know, we went 78-33 and we're able to win this division again. What do you think it was?
I mean, I agree that, you know, when you hear it, you're like, whoa, you know, that's a lot of games over 500. And it didn't feel like it. And I don't want to speak for him, but my view of it from what he's saying is that we didn't steamroll teams. We weren't rolling off wins, winning 12-1 and 10-2. And, you know, we were winning a lot of games, but we had a lot of close games. And I think to win close games, you have to play well in all facets, offense, defense, pitching, all of it, right? You have to do the right things, do the little things, come through, move guys over, all that kind of stuff. And because it didn't, you know, I remember talking to Smith multiple times when we had a winning streak. I'm like, man, it doesn't feel like we're winning as many games in a row because there's a lot of close games. And I think he's right. I mean, you look at the number of wins, they're impressive, no doubt. But it never felt like we were just crushing teams left, right, and center. So that being said, I'm happy we were able to pour Hey Man all over each other last night.
Hey!
And enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad we won the division. What a relief.
That would be some great product placement right there. We get that in a clubhouse. It is Alex Anthopoulos with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We said last segment that there's just no metric for clutch. I know they have every different acronym is used for baseball, measuring everything, but these guys just seem to be so clutch. And the move, and I know we've asked you about this before. Last year it was more through free making trades at the trade deadline. This year was coming from within the organization. And did you know that Michael Harris was going to be this good?
Absolutely not. We would have signed him way earlier if we did. So we knew he was talented, and we knew he was going to, you know, have the potential to do great things. But, you know, what he did you know, the defense we felt good about. We didn't know offensively what we were going to get. We knew long-term we were very high on him, and you know, he was not a guy we would consider trading, and we expected him to be part of our core going forward. But to be this good, this fast, and like you said, you want to talk about how many times late in the game, big moment, big knock. I mean, now getting to know him a little bit, I'm not surprised because he didn't have a pulse. He's just doesn't get rattled, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. The moment does not scare him or face him at all, which I think really serves him well.
Yeah, it's funny. Last night, he's, you know, Grissom's being interviewed. And Grissom takes the microphone and he turns to Money Mike and he's like, "How's this feel?" And Money Mike goes, "You feel it?" So it was pretty funny because you're right. He doesn't get rattled. All right, from one rookie to another, Spencer Strider. First, an update because we're all curious with this week now that we're going to get. What's it look like for him in the postseason? And then just talk about what you saw in spring training that allowed him to make this team and then do what he did this year.
Yeah, so he is doing much better. He's going to throw to 90 feet here. And then assuming he continues to pass that test, then he'll progress to a bullpen. And, you know, he feels optimistic, and our medical staff does too. He still has to pass some of these tests to make sure he doesn't feel anything, but that he could be ready to pitch at some point during the DS. So the good news is it's a long ways away, and we've got time, and we'll know that much more before we have to submit the roster. So you know, these next 4 days are going to be huge for him and for us to make a decision. But, you know, we're optimistic. In terms of spring training, we were always very high on him. He rolled through the minor leagues last year. I mean, we called him up at the end of the season, the last 3 days, because we thought there was a chance he could help us in the postseason. And, you know, we believed in him that much that even for our run last year, we thought out of the bullpen, maybe this guy can be a help. And ultimately, we decided not to do it in terms of adding him to the roster. But we did give him a look at the big league level. So I think the biggest improvement for him was his slider was very inconsistent last year. And now it's become a plus pitch consistently. And he's even tightened up his command and everything else. So he looked good in spring training. And he really, you know, that was the difference last year. He was the fastball and the slider was hit and miss. Now the slider's there. And obviously the command and what he's done has been outstanding. And, you know, him along with so many other guys, I mean, we won this thing by a game. Or depending on what happens today, I guess it might be two. But, you know, you don't get it done with all these guys doing great things.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, 5 division titles in a row here with us on Dukes and Bell. We didn't get a chance to talk to you since the Charlie Morton decision to bring him back was picked up. He's struggled at times. He's a veteran, so just about eating innings. And why are you bringing Charlie back for next season with the option for another
year? Right. So I know on the surface you see the 4.3 ERA or whatever it is. And, you know, we had a club option on him for $20 million regardless. We also had the option to give him a qualifying offer at the end of the year. So we were going to bring him back. Doing this early, it does give us that opportunity to have a club option for the following year. And, look, I think with Charlie, if you look at when we signed him coming off the year in Tampa, the COVID year, he had an ERA over 4. Kind of similar story where his offseason was disrupted because of the pandemic and COVID, had an uneasy season and really peaked at the end. You look now, he came off the injury in the World Series. He was rehabbing all offseason. Then he had 10. Then we were locked out. We couldn't work with him directly. And he was trying to get caught up to try to be ready for the opening day roster, which we didn't expect. But he did. He made it. But he's been trying to play. Trying to get caught up the entire time. And if you look at his velocity and everything else, and look, he's still striking a lot of guys out. He's giving up home runs at a higher rate, but we think a lot of that, so there's a luck element there. And we think with a normal off season, and which isn't really critical for him, stuff's the same, velocity's the same. You look at his numbers with the Astros in 2018, they're very similar to where they are now, obviously minus the ERA, but the walks, the strikeouts, the innings. You know, we think he's going to bounce back and be that much better. And, you know, beyond that, what he brings to the room and the example he sets for the young guys, there's real value to that. I've seen it day in and day out, the impact he has on a Strider, on a Freed, on a Kyle Wright. I think, you know, there's players out there that can make other players around them a lot better. He certainly qualifies. And I don't know what it's worth in terms of dollars, but I definitely feel it's really important.
Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, joining us. We are celebrating the Braves' 5th straight division title. And, guys, we are back in the playoffs with a chance to get back to the World Series. Can you talk about your relationship with Snit and how it works and how you guys collaborate on things? Because Mike and I always have conversations about our teams in this town and the front offices. You guys just seem to be clicking and having things working. It's rare that I think there – I don't know if there's a disagreement, but can you tell our listeners and Braves fans what that's like?
I got to tell you, I mean, I've been doing this now. This is 11 years for me, and I don't think, you know, there may not be, you know, me and Skip may not necessarily initially agree on stuff, but we've never had, never been tense. It's never been like weird. It's been smooth the entire time. And I think it's a credit to him. I think it's, you know, we both want the same things. We're pulling the same rope. And I don't think anyone's got an ego, and no one has to be right. And, you know, if either one of us feels strongly about something, we're going with them. So if he feels strongly about something, I'm going with him. If I feel strongly about something, he's going with me. And for the most part, we talk it through, and we end up getting there. So, and I also know, like, he knows I'm not going to get all these decisions right. I'm not going to – all the players we bring in, we're going to make some mistakes, and he's not going to get every move right during the season. And that's just part of the gig. That's just the way it works, and you have to realize that. But no, he's been great. I mean, he's been great. He's been awesome to work with. And I just think the biggest thing I could – the best word I can use is trust. There's just a huge amount of trust on both sides, and I think that's key to a relationship.
It's been an amazing year, as we talked about the rookies. Vaughn Grissom was great. It seemed like he cooled off a little bit. Then Arcia kind of came on at the end. Even, you know what I mean, we talk about everybody. I mean, all parts of this lineup. I think the difference between us and the Mets was you've got 1 through 9 that can step up, where the Mets have 3 or 4 guys. What about Ozzie Albies? I mean, I know we were thinking about it. Is it too optimistic? We'll see him by the divisional round. Where does that work?
Yeah, I think right now, I think divisional round would be – stretch. He just hasn't been hitting or doing anything. So, you know, you're 5 days away. I just don't see it, you know? So I think hopefully if we can advance, I would think the CS will be in play.
Okay.
But obviously we got to get there. But I mean, the good news is that if we can advance at some point, he should factor for us. And obviously it'd be tremendous to get a guy like that back.
All right, Alex, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. The price, I think, continues to go up with Dansby, with the way that he's played. And I love the way that he's played. But I'm asking for Braves country, okay? This is not me. This is not personal.
Oh, it's still you.
Okay, it's me.
It's you, too.
Yes, it's me. What?
That's right.
Is this going to work out?
Don't hide behind the fence.
Okay, fine. Is this going to work out? Because you've got a lot of folks in Braves country, and I'm not saying you. I'm saying what we saw with Freddie. And we're a little nervous, Alex. So I know you don't want to talk specifics about a contract, and I'm fine with that. But give me something on Dansby.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a no-win for me whenever you get asked about players and signing them back when they're going to be free agents, especially great players. So, I mean, yeah, I've been through this before, obviously, and it's hard to, you know, other than stating the obvious. You know, I can go into a long monologue about how awesome he is and how important he is, and you'd be like, okay, you didn't answer the question. So, I mean, the bottom line is he's really important, and he plays a premium position, and he's important. He's important, and he's especially for me this past year, like he's always been important, but he stepped up. And I'm not even talking on the field. I'm talking even the clubhouse. He stepped up more this year than anybody would have expected, you know, and he's just taken a lot on. As you know, I think this when you guys talked about Mike Harris and Vaughn Grissom and those, you know, I'm sure a lot of people saw it. The interview they did on Bally Sports, I thought was so hilarious. But I think Vaughn nailed it when he called him the sheriff, you know, and in a good way. You know, he is just, he's a glue guy. He's really become a glue guy, and he's come into that. So you put yourself in a GM's chair, you don't want to lose a glue guy. But there's got to be a but. You know, it's not that easy, right? So, that being said, we want them, we need them, and giving you anything beyond that is impossible at this point. But you guys see it day in and day out. What he's doing, the importance he has to this team, it's huge.
Right. I used to argue with all the time that they don't let you spend the money, and now they let you spend the money, and now the money's rolling in. I mean, I'm not getting your pocket, Alex, but it seems like it's a lot of folks.
Well, it's our pocket.
Yeah, it's true. We pay for the Reds' red parking, by the way. But there's a perception that we're spending top 10. So is that just the cost of doing business? And all the things you just said about Dansby, you can't replace that.
Yeah, and look, and that's the thing. Like, our payroll's climbed. I think we were 21st or 22nd in MLB when I got here. And attendance keeps doing great. Revenue, our payroll's climbing. I think we're 8th right now, which is incredible. Are we going to get to 1 or 2 or 3? Nope. Do we get up beyond 8? Do we get to 7? I don't know, but we're inside the top 10. I know Terry McGurk, our chairman, has always said that was his goal, to absolutely get into the top 10. So, you know, this is the tough part about all this, is that you're always going to want more, right? And you're trying to keep as many players as you can, and obviously Dansby being one of them. And then you've got other guys. You've got Max Fried, Kyle Wright, and all these other guys, right? You want to keep all those guys. You want to keep this thing going. So the trick, which is not easy, is to balance it out, to manage it, and you're hoping you have the young guys that are coming in to backfill, the Harrises and the Striders and the Grissoms and those guys, that they allow you to go out and spend on some of those other guys. So that's why scouting and player development is so important. You know, you think about when all those guys were making the minimum, we were able to go get Josh Donaldson and Dallas Keuchel, and we could spend on other players. You know, now it's their turn to get paid, and they're getting paid, and they fully deserve it. We need to continue to replenish and continue to get some young guys to backfill. And, yeah, we're going to try to, you know, we're being as aggressive as we can in signing guys long term, because we want to try to keep this group together. But there is going to be a limit, right? We're not going to be the first highest payroll in the sec. So there's limits to everything, and I'm never going to complain about it. It is what it is, and I'm elated. We're top 10, which is great. That's enough to put a winning team on the field for sure, and trying to make it all fit. So we're definitely going to try.
Yeah, it's who you spend on. It's not how much you spend. And I think that's what has been the key for us. Alex, I know you got to run. I will say this publicly because I've told you privately. Guys, he's the best GM in baseball. And all you got to do is look at what he's done since he's come here. We made it work last year, and we didn't have all these guys, you know. And look this year. No Luke Jackson, no Adam Duvall, no Mike Soroka, Ozzy. And look what's happened. So we are set up for success. Alex, congratulations on another division title. Don't know how far we go, but it'd be nice to be celebrating another parade. We appreciate the time. Look forward to talking with you throughout the course of the playoffs.
All right, guys. Always appreciate the support. Enjoy the run.
Thanks, man. Cool. Alex Anthopoulos, guys. And the thing is, to Mike's point, I don't know if we ever thought we'd be number one, but Mike's right. Let's spend some more money. And now that we are, you kind of see what's going on. We're in the mix for a lot of things that we were not in the mix for in years past. All right, guys, more to get to. Braves win last night. We're in the playoffs. We get a week off. We're going to talk more about it, but we'll get to some headlines coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Oh, thanks to Alex Anthopoulos. If you're just jumping on and joining the show, where you been? We start at 2 o'clock. You'll get a chance to hear what he had to say coming up at 5:40. We'll replay that interview for you, giving us an update on Spencer Strider. A lot of people worried about what that's going to look like, Mike.
I heard last night Peter Moylan. I always love the accent. Peter talking about how he's throwing. And what's the difference from throwing on level ground to getting up on the mound? Well, on the mound, all of a sudden, your body starts to twist, and that's where the oblique becomes an issue. So Moylan says that'll be the big – if he passes that test throwing off the mound, then Strider will be good to go. But the idea being just simply having to catch, get on the mound, your body's in a different position.
All right.
I was like, what? Oh, makes sense.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. Last night, though, was glorious, especially when the game ended.
In the air right. Ronald is there. I mean, these things are never easy. They're all special in their own right. We did it with that group behind me.
No doubt.
I'm glad that Snicker finally got in the picture. He goes, I'm there. Let me get in one of these. Because he was doing the interview on Valley Sports with Kelly. And he ran in there and said Indian style in the front. Everybody's firing up cigars. It was awesome.
It was, man. Snicker was also talking about what makes this team special.
Because those guys, they're an amazing group. I said they're the battle-tested guys. You know, they never stop believing in themselves, their work ethic, the consistency with which they come.
So now, guys, we wait. And it's good, but it could be bad. Because, Mike, this is a lot of time off now. We always want the rest. We want get guys healthy. But 10 days?
I don't know. Let Michael Harris kind of ruminate. Let Vaughn Grissom get his head right. You know, maybe called off the bench. You know, it might be some starts where Arcia starts and he doesn't. Alex Anthopoulos said Ozzie Albies, it'd be unrealistic to think he's going to be ready in 5 days. So maybe for the NLCS, you would see him if they keep on trucking. But I got no problem with this. This is a rest that is well-deserved, much like an NFL having a bye week late in the year.
It is.
I'm cool with it.
I am too. And they deserve it. Meanwhile, last night, it happened. Are you happy it happened? Are you finally happy that Aaron Judge hit home run number 62?
I mean, it's the American League record, which, you know, okay. If this guy was on the Rays, would anybody give a flip?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
If this guy was doing it in Oakland. No.
Probably not.
But, I mean, like, I get it. The Yankees are a brand like the Cowboys, yada, yada, yada. I'm not interested. It doesn't compel me. And the fact that every minute I get this, you know, it's like, and now Armstrong about to step off the lunar lander. But wait, let's go live to Texas. Aaron Judge is at the plate. By the way, there's like 5,000 memes about this out there.
There
right
are.
Now.
There are. It happened. Matter of fact, let's hear it.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. Whoa. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. Aaron Judge hits his 62nd. All the Yankees out of the dugout to greet him. Just think of it. Three Yankee right fielders. The Babe hitting 60 and 27. The Jolly Roger hitting 61 and 61. And now Aaron Judge hits his 62nd home run. The most home runs any American leaguer has hit in a single season.
Okay, good. Yankee fans rejoice and dance in the streets. I don't care. Now, next year he'll probably get $500 million from somebody, maybe the Yankees, and he'll probably go back to playing 125 games. Great guy. Not a bad guy. Aaron Judge has not put a foot wrong. He's a solid citizen. I'm just not compelled by this.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know that they framed it as the American League. I didn't realize when spring training started, I wonder who's going to be the new American League single-season home run champion. Again, if this guy played for Oakland or Tampa Bay, you think ESPN would give a crap? They would.
No. And it is not the single-season record, which you hear right there. He made a distinction. And I am a little surprised. Chris, I know you were watching this, right? I'm sure you were watching this last night.
How could you avoid it? I
mean, of course.
If you were in Russia right now, they would cut into Aaron Judge.
Not on Putin's watch. No. But Chris, I'm a little surprised he didn't use the, you know, Judgian blast. I'm surprised he didn't use one of his normal cliches.
Well, listen, it's hard to defend my guy Sterling sometimes because of where he is.
And we're talking about
is.
John Sterling, by the way.
Yeah, yes. Where he is in his career.
Right. He's what, 80?
84.
Okay.
But let me just say this. Unless the Yankees win another World Series, that's probably the last
major
call he's going to make. So he did it in his own way.
Right. Yeah.
And he forwent, whatever the expression is, the traditional cliches that he uses.
Okay.
And actually gave a full thought out baseball call. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And the lineage of the Yankee outfielders that he talked about, from the Babe to Roger Maris. And, you know, it's cool. I'm not a Yankee fan, and I don't really give a care who the single season American League home run hitter is. Had this been the pursuit, you know, for the regular season deal, it just kind of crosses us over, Carl, into this weird gray area that Major League Baseball and their old commissioner created. That, you know, we have records, but they – so now this is your new home run record and Barry Bonds is 73 or
– No, it's the American League record.
I'm saying, but it's – who gives a crap?
It's the American League record. Mike, here's the deal, and I don't necessarily disagree with you on the team and how much coverage would they be getting if this was a lesser market, lesser team than the Yankees. But it's been 60 years, right, since this has happened, since someone's even, you know, gotten to this point. And from that standpoint, just from a milestone standpoint, if you're a fringe baseball fan, this is one of those things that people are going to know about. You know, this is going to be on trivia shows and all of that kind of stuff where you go, who hit, 62 home runs? So, listen, I think sports culture is going to realize, hey, this is cool. I just don't know if it resonates, to your point, with what we saw with Barry Bonds and the single-season record, or for that matter, the all-time home run king. Right. This is a different deal.
And again, I'm not, as we said, if you're a Yankee fan and people do appreciate, obviously the people appreciate this.
Sure.
I'm not trying to be a curmudgeon. I'm just saying, look, with a dude who looks like a power forward in the NBA playing at Yankee Stadium half his career, I would say this is something that should probably happen. To be honest, if I'm honest.
Headlines, he is 6'7". Headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. You can get help, guys. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live well. Coming up, we'll get to an NFL blitz. All right, Mike was just talking about the Thursday night game. May not be as exciting as you think. We'll talk about that and the Falcons start preparation for the Bucks. It's Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.